Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We're just getting ready for a great show on this Wednesday. My Mopedman is in the house today. We've got a lot to bring to you. I do want to start off and say last night was, you know, SmackDown was at the queue. I don't know if you got a chance to tune in, Wilhelm, because I'm sure that was high on your priority list, but... you know, The Miz was in here. He'd had a homecoming celebration, you know, in his honor.
Did he get beat?
He didn't end up wrestling, so he had a homecoming celebration. He comes out, and they have, like, these old pictures of him, like, lying, this whole big thing. They do this video recapture, like, going through his whole career from the real world all the way through to where he is now. And it was awesome. And then he gets on the microphone, you know, from Cleveland, and it goes, starts talking and saying all this nice stuff, and then goes, but you know what I can't believe? He goes, you have 1.3 million people out here throw a parade for a traitor like LeBron James who left you and you welcomed him back because you were so desperate for a champion and all the while you ignored me. I was the WWE champion at WrestleMania 27 long before the traitor ever came back. Called him traitor multiple times. People were going nuts and he goes, the only two people in this building with any class at all are my parents who are sitting in the front row. So he calls up his parents. They stand up. People are like livid. And then Dolph Ziggler, who's also from Cleveland's parents, right, were there. And he goes, and Dolph Ziggler's parents are here too. He goes, and I want to congratulate you guys on raising a first-class loser, and starts like killing them. So then Dolph comes out and basically Miz had beaten Dolph, you know, like four times in the last month, and Dolph wanted one more shot, and he agreed basically to put his career on the line against the Miz. So in 2 weeks, if Dolph Ziggler loses, you'll never see him again.
So either WWE. Dolph Ziggler, you're never going to see him again, or he's going to be the Intercontinental Champion. So is the belt on the line with this as well?
Oh yes. Oh, yes.
Because the Miz can wrestle and not have it be a championship.
Correct. Yes.
Bout.
Yes.
Correct.
But yes.
Same way with boxing or, okay.
A non-title affair.
Correct.
Called. But this is, in fact, the real deal. So my kids, anyway, had the best time. People were like, some of the guys, people they knew when they came out for their entrances would like point, Arden was in her little, all her little get up and getting into it with the wrestlers. And so they had the best time. And she got to meet Nikki Bella, who was her favorite. So she was very happy. So it was a good fun night. Kids were out late. It was a good time. And one of these days, we're going to get you down there. I bet Mason would be into it.
Mason would like it. Mason would want to just get, like, the big finger, you know, in a T-shirt of someone he saw coming out and enjoy the concessions.
Oh, they merchandise effectively.
Oh, my gosh, do they?
They've got all that. They've got all of that for you.
I know.
They can take money out of your wallet very quickly.
Dude, anything you go to in today's world is merchandise.
That's what
it's all about. The circus. Your ticket costs $21. You spend $50 in concessions. I mean, it's the parking and the concessions that digs, you know, burns the hole in your pocket. It's not even so much the ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, just getting, they want, it's like Vegas. Yeah. Remember Vegas? They
just want to
get
you in the door.
Vegas, get you in the door. So my son, this guy, one of the wrestlers, AJ Styles, who's the champion, and he defended his title last night. He comes out and he has the gloves, like the football gloves where you put them up and it shows. So, of course, my son was like, you got the gloves and doing all this nonsense all night.
What is on the gloves?
It's like his logo, like his
P1. Are they Nike gloves?
No, but they're the replay. The ones that he has are, but these are like the ones they sell are
correct.
Are not, but they still cost you probably
$40 for a pair of gloves.
They cost you $30.
$30.
A pair of like the real Nike Jet gloves. What do those cost you?
$40, $50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice little discount for the kids who are,
I guess,
who are gonna not wear those
ever again.
But that's okay. That's what they did. Anyway, we have a big show for you today here. On this Wednesday, of course, everybody's back in the building today. The players were in the locker room, and we're going to hear from Joe Hayden talking about what happened, why he wasn't able to go. Cody Kessler from the podium this morning. And also Brian Body Calhoun, the young rookie cornerback who was the first Brown in the history of this organization, amazing, to have a pick six in his NFL debut with the Cleveland Browns. So not his Browns debut, his NFL debut as a member of the Cleveland Browns. So we're going to hear from all of those guys. Our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day, getting ready for Washington. What concerns us the most about Washington's offense? Is DeSean Jackson still a major threat? Kirk Cousins, the franchise quarterback, and of course, with that game plan out there, what do you see going forward? And how do you go? You always talk about you have A, then you have AB, and then you have ABC. Well, we put Terrell Pryor out there, and basically what was a phenomenal game plan from Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton on the offensive side of the ball, and also Ray Horton on the defensive side. Now that's out there, so we'll see what happens. It's also Mailbag Wednesday, so you can use your questions to tweet us using the hashtag AskCBD. But, Matt, let's start with, you know, just looking at this and going from that A to B, A, B, C. I don't think that there necessarily has to be anything different. They're going to prepare for it, and that's fine. And you've shown with Pryor, you can have him drop straight back and throw it like a normal quarterback. You can show him on the handoff read option where he gives it off, where he keeps it, play action off of that read option. So I don't know that there are extra wrinkles that need to be added per se.
There may and there may not. And I think, to your point, what we have to do is diagnose what Washington does. Okay, and can we carry a similar A-B, you know, and potentially have a C available if need be against the Washington Redskins? Or do you need to deconstruct everything you did against the Dolphins and reconstruct an A, a new A, and a new B relevant to the Washington Redskins? And in some cases, that's really what you kind of have to do. You know, and I know that they're a 4-3 defense, you know, just like the Miami Dolphins, so things are going to be similar. But the one thing we have to take into account, and I think it goes back to our conversations yesterday with John Costco from Pro Football Focus, is going up against Odell Beckham Jr., that's the Josh Norman kryptonite as we know it. But all his other time guarding anybody else in the first three games, Josh Norman is the number one corner in football right now. He's been paid like one. He is playing like one in Washington, not necessarily traveling, you know, with the number one receiver, which a lot of people around the league, Antonio Brown and Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr., have made comments about that. But we have to be very aware of where he's at. That's Cody Kessler. That's Terrell Pryor. That's Hugh Jackson in regards to his play calling. Because you can, I know I've talked about this time and time again in San Diego with Champ, you know, Champ Bailey with the Broncos. You would lull that guy, lull him, and then take your shot on him down the field with a double move of some sort to get that big, you know, that big play behind him, because he eliminates a quarter of the football field. You know, so then you're looking at Barnage. How do you win with Barnage up the middle versus their linebackers and safeties? Then you're looking at the opposite receiver, if he's always on the right or always on the left. You know, who is that going to be? And do you, in this case, have the sacrificial lamb, in this case, be Hollywood Higgins, Ricardo Lewis, you know, Jordan Payton, who may get limited targets, just chew up and occupy Josh Norman as you have Andrew Hawkins and Terrell Pryor and Gary Barnage and these other guys kind of working against the corner, the other corner, and the nickel? How do we create those scenarios? And that, to me, is something that we have to be very, very aware of, because he's a game killer. You know, yeah. He's a game plan killer because of how dominant he is. And I think for us, we want to be on schedule. And when I say on schedule, it's you want to be able to run the ball on first down, or not even run the ball. You want to have a run pass option on first down, which of course you do, you know, 50 and be 50-50 run pass on first down, and get into second and five or less, second and six or less, you know, and I think everyone would take 4 yards on first down. And then what it does, it plays into your hands to be able to go again. You can go run. You can go pass. You can go run pass or pass run, whichever you want, to get into a third and one situation and allow you the opportunity to, again, to maintain and have them guessing. Are you going to run some quicks with Cody Kessler getting the football out of your hands? Are we going to then bring in Terrell Pryor and have a situation for him to run on a third and one? Or what type of front are you going to bring in, your nickel or dime or some sub package? And then we have the ability to run with the way that Crow has been running to get that tough yard and move the chains.
The number two rusher in the NFL, Isaiah Crowell. And what I love about, though, what they did at the goal line, I've always thought the best goal line back in the National and short yards back in the National Football League, at least over the last 3 or 4 years, wasn't a running back at all. I thought it was Cam Newton. And his size, with his strength, his power, and it allows you to turn your running back into a lead blocker, essentially, and they do that so effectively.
You create an extra gap.
Did you play with Mike Tolbert at all?
I did.
With Carolina, and they do that. So you create an extra gap. The Browns did that at the goal line, and I think it's incredibly effective, and I think you'll see TP in some of those short yard situations. That's not to say Crow can't get it done, but it's a changeup, because all of a sudden now if you have him back there, he can get it, and you can go straight power, or he can get it, and when he goes to hand it, it's either going to be an inside run with Crow or he's going outside. That's difficult for a defense.
Yeah,
as a linebacker, how do you even react to that as a Mike linebacker?
It's very tough to react to, and the thing is, what you want to do is create a little bit of doubt. And doubt in part brings on hesitation, and that hesitation by a defender either on the edge, that end who maybe is it, do I crash or do I take the quarterback, and then is the linebacker going to scrape over top of me? That little indecision is all it takes in the NFL to get that first down. Just that little indecision.
Yeah, it's a game of inches.
It is a game of inches, and that little hesitation, that little thinking process, and that's why sometimes people just say, you read it, react. And that's where the doubt starts to creep in, and a package that I believe that Washington's going to be spending a lot of time on after the success it had against the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, indeed. Coming up, we're going to hear from Cody Kessler, the success he hopes to have in the next game coming up here against the Washington Redskins. The team's giving up 4.6 yards a carry. So if this is a game, people are clamoring, stick with the ground game. This is when you want to see it. And Washington will get into their stats, their leaders, etc. when we come back. We'll also hear from Cody Kessler at the podium right after this. But this Washington team on offense, Matt Jones runs very hard, very violently, and they throw the ball effectively. DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jamison Crowder having a phenomenal season for them. Josh Dotson, and then they've got a great tight end in Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed's the guy that Jordan I believe Reed, we have to stop.
Jordan Reed makes me a little bit nervous. So they've got a lot of weapons there in Washington. But for the Browns, it's going to be orchestrated in the second career start of Cody Kessler, third-round quarterback for the Browns. We will hear from him at the podium when we return.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's now hear from Cleveland Browns starting quarterback, Cody Kessler.
How intensive is your preparation this week versus last week?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, same thing. You've got to continue your process. And, you know, I said it a ton last week, and nothing changed. You know, I got a first game now under my belt, but the preparation is going to be exactly the same, you know, staying and you know, doing what works for me, the process, watching film, you know, install, what works and why we're doing what play in different situations. You know, it really just helps me gather information and feel really comfortable going into practice and moving forward in the week.
How much did it help you last week to have Terrell involved in the manner that he was? And you anticipate, obviously, about giving up the state secrets, that kind of a situation to
Yeah. I mean, Coach Jackson always has a great game plan, and our job is to execute, you know, the plays the way we did in practice all week. And Terrell is such a dynamic player that he can do a lot of things, and you know, he definitely did a great job last week with a lot on his plate, and he went out there and executed really well, and he really helped me out too, you know, when I was in there and finding him on some routes. And but that's just Coach Jackson does a great job of game plan and everything, and you know, really gives us confidence in each play and while we're running it, and then we go out and execute.
Go ahead, Scott. Have you ever seen anybody have the kind of impact on the game
that
Terrell did in multiple phases?
No, I mean, I think for him, like I said, you know, his performance speaks for itself. You know, he had a lot on his plate, and he had a lot of things to do, and for him to go out and execute it as well as he did was awesome. You know, and it took, you know, a lot of hard work throughout the week, a lot of time, spending extra time, and he was meeting with me. We'd watch film together and go over stuff, but, you know, that's just the type of guy he is. He's a team player, and he loves – you know, doing whatever necessary, you know, for us to have a chance. And like I said, he went out there and executed it greatly.
Hey, along those lines, I don't know if you plan to be a wide receiver down the road or not, but just from an athletic standpoint, how impressive is what he's done and how he's been able to transition as quickly as he has?
Yeah, it's very impressive. You know, he has an advantage because he's played the quarterback position before. So when he's at wide receiver, he knows what we're thinking or what our thought process is on different things. And then you throw him in there at quarterback like we did last week, and it's more comfortable for him. It's natural. He's done it before. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, he spent a lot of week for a lot of time during the week getting prepared for the different packages we had for him and everything, and that's why I think he executed it so efficiently.
How much more do you think you can handle of the offense will expand in your second start?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on our game plan. That's up to Coach Jackson. And you know, whatever plays are called, whatever our game plan is, whatever we install for the week, I'm going to pay, you know, close attention to detail and execute each one as best I can.
Hugh's one of those coaches. He likes to change up the formations and move guys around. And we saw your first snap where the tackles were lined up wide before they came in and that. As a quarterback, though, how quick does that process need to be as far as getting the play in the huddle, getting you guys to the line so that he can do those shifts and you don't run into those delay of games?
Yeah. I mean, each play is different. Each play, you know, has a different purpose and all the shifts and everything we do has a purpose. But for me, yeah, I mean, I need to be a little bit quicker, and that's something that I said after the game was just I want to get in and out of the huddle a little bit quicker, and that's on me just – Getting the guys get upset if we need to move, shift, do whatever we need to do. That way, if I need to make an adjustment at the line, I'll have time on the play clock and still feel comfortable and not rush. But, yeah, that's something that I'm going to work on this week. You know, big emphasis on getting in and out of the huddle a lot faster.
So do you have, like, just like more swag walking around this week? Like, you're a starting quarterback in the NFL now, man. Like, you've done it.
No, not at all. For me, I don't think everything outside of it comes with it. You know, I just focus on what I can control, and that's how I prepare, and that's how I go out and practice every day, and you know, like I said, execute the plays and execute the game plan and watch film and kind of just go about my business and stay in the facility as much as possible. You know, I don't let everything outside of that and everything that comes with it get in my head.
Is there any difference, though, of, like, I haven't quite done it yet in an NFL game, now I did it, now I know I can do it, just, you know, going through the whole process?
Well, I mean, I think comfortable-wise, I mean, you got your first start and you played your first game, you know, so you have a little bit of experience-wise and you feel a little more comfortable, but no, I mean, it doesn't change my attitude or my thought process or anything. You know, I'm still going to continue to do what's, you know, I know works for me, and that's just stick to preparation all week, stick to my process, and just keep working hard.
Hey, Cody, who were some of the guys you studied, whether or not high school or SC, at the quarterback position? And then I'm just curious if Kirk Cousins is one of those guys that you paid any attention to.
Like I said before, I'm a big fan of the position. I love watching guys play the position. And, you know, in college at SC, obviously I reached out to the great USC quarterbacks who played before me. But NFL-wise, you know, I was a big fan of Brees. I watched his film all the time. I love watching Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that. And but for me, I liked watching the games. You know, it didn't really matter who was in or who was playing at the position. I just kind of watched them and studied them and how they did things that worked well or, you know, different things they did different than I did. And for me, so there's not really any specific guys. I just kind of like watching the position.
What was your relationship with Paul McDonald?
Paul was the first person actually took it, like, it was like my mentor, first person that mentored me when I was there. Our freshman year, he started a class where it was kind of a transition class for all the new, you know, freshmen coming in, and Paul was in charge of that, so I got to know Paul really well my first semester, and he was awesome. You know, he gave me a ton of advice and really just helped me out, and, you know, told me he supported me, was rooting for me, so I've had a great relationship with Paul.
Did that continue once you were drafted, knowing the connection he had here in Cleveland and so forth?
No, unfortunately, I haven't got to talk to him yet. But, you know, he's throughout my career at SC, he was great and everything. But unfortunately, I haven't ran into him yet or anything. But I'm sure he was excited. And, you know, when I run into him, I'm sure we'll talk about it.
How similar are the Miami and Washington defenses did you try to prepare for them?
I mean, they do a lot of different things. You know, there's different things that you know, each team's good at and what they stick to and what they like to run. But, you know, for me, like I said, it's what I can control. You know, I can't control what they're going to line up, and I can control, you know, what play we're running and how to execute it. You know, and that's my biggest thing is that whatever look we may get or whatever they may throw at us, you know where your answer is, know where you need to go with the ball, know what you need to do on this player, know if you need to change certain things here and there. So that's something that I stick to, not to get too overwhelmed with everything.
Cody, what are the things Josh Norman does really well to make him such a challenge?
Yeah, he's an aggressive player. He really is, and he does a great job. He's a great cover guy. He's very physical. He'll come up and tackle, and at the same time, you know, he does a great job of covering. But, you know, for me, you know, I just, like I said, stick to the game plan, execute the plays in order to go with the ball, and just ball location is a big thing with him because he's so good at reacting to the throw and jumping the ball. You need to put it, you know, exactly where you want to put it, away from the defender and you know, different shoulders, wherever it may be.
Speaking of going, knowing where to go with the ball, you want the TP a lot, you know, right away. Obviously, he's huge and fast, but aside from those things, is there any reason why there was that instant chemistry?
No, I don't know. I mean, he's like I said, he's a great player. He did a lot of things well throughout the week, and he practiced really hard, and it just, you know, and so do other guys. Everyone does, you know, and I felt confidence in everyone, but it was just the looks we got, you know, certain plays he was in, and it wasn't like, hey, we're throwing the ball here no matter what on this play. You know, it's whatever look we get. If we get, you know, the matchup we want or the look we want, then we're going to go there with the ball. And it happened to be Terrell, you know, getting man a couple times or getting zone where he'd find a window. And, you know, once he gets the ball in his hand, he makes big plays. So it really helped me out in the pass game, you know, finding him a couple times.
So having studied so many USC quarterbacks, who's the best?
I don't know.
There's Cody Kessler ranking.
There's a lot of greats. I don't know. I'm nowhere. I'm nowhere up there. But it was cool to get just the people I talked to and connected with Rodney Pete, and, you know, Leinart would come back, Palmer, Sanchez, all those guys. Barkley was my, you know, mentor when he was at USC, and, you know, just to know them and kind of be in that category with them. And obviously, like I said, I'm nowhere near their level, but getting to know them and just talk football and outside of football and everything that came with it was definitely a great experience for me.
How much feedback did you get? Not counting coaches and teammates here, but just throughout your life and football career, how much feedback did you get following Sunday's game?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of people from Bakersfield reached out to me, and they were just proud of me and everything. And it was just cool to have that support. You know, like I said, told you guys before the game, you know, I'm very proud of where I came from, and there's a lot of great people in Bakersfield. And it was really cool to see all the pictures. You know, they had watch parties, all these different things. So to have that support and continue to have that support from Bakersfield is something that really means a lot to me.
Did you see the billboard they put up at Bakersfield?
I did. Yeah, I did. I thought that was awesome. That meant a lot to me, and it was something that I didn't know about. They didn't tell me. No one told me anything. And I actually saw a picture of it first. Someone sent it to me, and then I ran over there and went and saw it afterwards. But like I said, you know, it's just I'm very proud of where I came from, and there's a lot of great people there to support me.
You should be part of the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, every time you talk about Bakersfield.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great place. You got to go there first to really experience it. But no, it's just it's awesome. It's just it kind of molds you to who you become as a person. You know, and you know, my dad and my mom both worked really hard, and I learned from them. And you know, I got to you know, watch my dad, you know, really coach me in football, and didn't know a whole lot about quarterback, but did everything he could to help me out and get me to different camps and stuff. So you know, I take a lot of pride in coming from Bakersfield.
Do you think your teammates have more confidence in you right now than they did a week ago at this time?
I think we have more of a relationship, you know, obviously just getting more reps together, more opportunities, and you know, I mean, I hope so. I hope they feel comfortable, and I'm doing everything I can to make them feel comfortable and to know that, you know, I have confidence going into each play and in the huddle and out on the field. And but that's something you got to do as a rookie. You know, you got to earn their respect and earn their trust, and that's something that I like to do every day, just go out and compete and be loud and be vocal and, you know, try to be a leader and do different things that just show that, you know, I'm ready and I want to step up and be a guy that doesn't come in as scared or has any, you know, doubts about himself.
So you said you're sort of focused, you're not worried about the outside stuff, but, you know, you're an NFL starting quarterback now. Isn't there outside stuff that's part of that? I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's in college, everything I dealt with it, but yeah. You just got to block it out, you know, for me. And that's something that I did at USC. And you know, obviously it's L.A., Hollywood, all those different things, but that wasn't me. You know, like I said, I was just, you know, stuck in my playbook. I'd watch film, hang out with the guys on the team, and you know, I didn't really get into the whole outside scene of that or everything that came with playing at USC. You know, I like I said, I respect the game, and it takes a lot of work, and you got to be dedicated, and I enjoy that. You know, it's fun for me to stay late nights and stay in here and study film and watch different things and not get too caught up in the hype or everything outside of it.
Cody, sometimes when, you know, guys are, you know, the quarterback's behind other quarterbacks, you might get summoned, and maybe it's one start and then out. Mm-hmm. How valuable do you think it'll be to be able to string consecutive starts together and
yeah.
get that experience?
Yeah, I mean, there's things that I want to improve on this week and do better. And you know, I think that's a chance for me to come out this week and practice and work on those things and, you know, head into the game. But, yeah, I mean, it builds a little bit of a rhythm. And, you know, coming off of one start, going to the next one, you know, I kind of know what to expect, different things that got brought up in the game that I can work on for this week to fix, you know, like clock management and different things. But yeah, I think it's big, and it all starts, you know, today with practice and going in, you know, throughout the week.
So we shouldn't expect to see you on TMZ leaving the club in Hollywood?
No, not at all.
Do you have, like, a good, crazy, like, studying the playbook story of, I think Carson Wentz, there was a story like he was studying the playbook on a date or something. Like, people like that kind of stuff. Can you drop, like, a, I'm so dedicated to the playbook, I do it here kind of thing?
No, I'm not worried about what people like. I just kind of focus on what I do, and that's just get in here as early as I can and watch film and stay all day and stay all night until I feel comfortable with what we're doing the next day and just try to stay ahead. But I come in and work hard and kind of keep to myself and just, you know, stay in this locker room and just stay in the playbook.
That's Cody Kessler. You got to like the way he sounds. He does inspire confidence in terms of just his preparation, his command, and I think, you know, it helps getting a quarterback. Obviously, look, you could say Carson Wentz came from North Dakota State and he's having no problem with the spotlight and the stage of the National Football League, but Cody Kessler, I think playing at USC has kind of, it doesn't seem too big for him. He's played in where the Rams are playing now. He's played obviously in huge stadiums,
right.
And he seems very comfortable and knows what I like about him the best is I think he knows what he can do.
Yeah.
And he knows more importantly what he can't do.
Absolutely. And I think Cody Kessler is so much far better off this week than he was last week. A lot of the uncertainty about the speed of the game and you know, again, uncertainty about am I good enough to play at this level? That was all cleared up. because of his performance against the Miami Dolphins, he put the Cleveland Browns in a situation to win a football game in his first career start in the National Football League. And I think it only gets it gets easier in regards to your preparation, but it gets harder, you know, now that you're going to see, you know, defenders like Ryan Kerrigan and Josh Norman, you know, opposite you, trying to shut you down. And again, the same thing we said about Mario Williams and those guys last week, and hurt you and knock you out of a football game.
Yeah, and that's what he has done a good job doing. You know, I think if he can continue to take care of the ball, the good news, the turnover, it happened early from the rest of the game, basically played the next 57 minutes without a blemish. He's going to have to do that against Washington. They do have a potent offense, and the Browns are not going to be a team that wants to play from behind against them. They are lucky. Sounds like Breland could be out. D'Angelo Hall could be out as well, but this is still a very good football team there in Washington, and a team that went to the playoffs last year, has playoff aspirations, and I think at 1-2, they look at this game as much of a must-win as the Miami Dolphins did last week at 0-2.
Absolutely, and I think I go back to my question that I asked Jim Donovan on Monday following the Miami Dolphins game as we kind of, you know, sort of turn the pages. There's a double-edged sword. It's A, you got off the schneid and you got a victory in the division against the New York Giants on the road, which can boost your confidence, or it's the letdown of, okay, we got that win, let's find our comfort zone, and the whole Odell Beckham Jr., Josh Norman narrative kind of goes away, and you have a little bit of a downturn. So I believe this to be true. If the Cleveland Browns approach each and every football game the way they have, at least the last two opponents, home against Baltimore and on the road against Miami, and they put forth the effort and the fight, they will be in football games in the fourth quarter, and that's all we can ask for from this football team. And then it becomes to who's got the playmakers making plays and not shying away from that moment in the fourth quarter, the sack, force, fumble, making the big catch, making the big throw, the big pass breakup to get the ball back for your offense to go down the field and now make a field goal or score a touchdown to then win that football game.
Yes, let's go get that W. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. How are you feeling about this team right now? Also, get your questions in using the hashtag AskCBD for the Browns mailbag.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. And fans, you can head to browns.whereimfrom.com to enter for your chance to win an autographed Joe Thomas t-shirt and a Where I'm From apparel gift pack. The winner will be selected on Sunday morning before the game. Let's go to the phones now, 216-578-0850. Troy in Zanesville is with us. Troy, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to ask you about Terrell Pryor. And I know he failed as a quarterback in Oakland, all right? But Hugh was there. And I know there has to be something that Hugh sees in Terrell. Because, man, you see the athlete. You can see the defense scared of this guy. I just don't understand, why can't he turn him into a quarterback? This kid could be Cam Newton, man. If he just does it right. And I just don't know why. I mean, I like Cody Kessler. I like what he did Sunday. But, man, you got to look at the overall playmaking threat, not just as a wide receiver, but something that they got to plan around from the center point of our offense. And vote for Troy from Zanesville.
Troy, thank you. Yeah, he is the center point of our offense. I think Crow and Duke are as well. But you imagine, wait a second, we can add Josh Gordon to the offense we saw in Miami next week. We can add, hopefully, Corey Coleman back to that offense soon after that. So it's easy to get excited. Joe Thomas was talking in the locker room today about why he's excited about the possibilities for this offense.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to Terrell Pryor, I believe the reason why you can't go all in on him as a quarterback is because he has proved the inability to drop back and be a pocket passer and win from the pocket when having to throw the football 30-plus times in a National Football League game. And that's why. And some of the reads and throws that he made are half field, you know, two-person routes and allowed him to make the throw. You held the linebackers with the zone read and allowed Gary Barnage to get across the field on that half roll. You throw it to him wide open. You make a chunk play. And then you go back to Cody. I like this being added, regardless of whether RG3 were back in the football game or Josh McCown ends up coming back from that fractured clavicle in 4 to 5 weeks. Terrell Pryor will have a presence at quarterback from this point forward because of his success against the Miami Dolphins. And I think as you look at it, and we always talk about, you know, you run a fake in a game on a punt or you run a fake on a field goal and it works, you put a little doubt in that special teams coach. Terrell Pryor now puts a lot of doubt and makes that defensive coordinator or the opposing team have to put together packages. And not only a package to stop what you saw, but to your point, as we kind of started this show, is, you know, we saw the A, we saw the B with Terrell Pryor. Then you start, your imagination starts to wonder, what are the other things you can do out of this package? Then here comes C, here comes D. And all the while, Hugh Jackson is revamping, has already scrapped A and B, and is doing something customized with Terrell Pryor specific to the Washington Redskins. And therein lies the game. That's the guessing game of where's Terrell Pryor going to line up? Can you go Kessler, you know, at quarterback and Terrell Pryor line up at running back and run an option, for gosh sakes, you know, to the short side with Pryor at running back to get the football in his hands? Do you motion Pryor out the wide receiver, the double pass, the reverse pass, all that stuff we talked about towards the end of last season and throughout training camp, knowing that Terrell Pryor had solidified his role as a member of the 53-man roster here in Cleveland?
Well, and the other thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, it's one thing right now, Terrell Pryor is unquestioned our best receiver with Coleman out.
Yes.
So when you move him to quarterback, you're taking him out of the route tree.
Correct.
How much more effective can Terrell Pryor at quarterback be with the run pass option when you have Gordon and Coleman as wide receivers?
Well, so much more. And I think you've got to loosen that box. I think the zone read, again, comes back as a legitimate way to beat a six-man box by adding, you know, very similar for all of you Buckeye fans. When you want, the reason why Urban Meyer is so enamored with the Braxton Miller and the JT Barretts of the world at quarterback and not so much Cardale Jones, and why that zone read didn't work so well, because there was, that guy's not going to beat me with his legs.
Right.
So when you get a six-man box, you know, you actually have enough to block them and they have no one to tackle the quarterback. And that's why you see JT Barrett making, you know, high efficiency reads consistently. You saw Terrell Pryor do it at a high level. That's only going to be continue to be a part of what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what is good. It can evolve, but it's only a piece, a small piece.
Correct.
And I wonder, how big of a piece do you think it stays when McCown comes back?
I think it should stay a piece. I think it should stay a piece because of the amount of effort that and time that a team's going to have to put into stopping it. And then it becomes, you know, as time goes on, if you start beating people from the pocket and you're softening them up, then it becomes a smaller piece. And when you realize that you need Terrell Pryor out there, as you said, running the routes. Yep. Alongside of Josh Gordon when you're going deep, and then you can get Coleman in the slot and Barnage, you know, at his Y position, you know, running those inside routes, winning versus nickel and linebackers as well. Then you're really, like, you know, like you say, where you're cooking with gas. Then you have no need for Terrell Pryor at quarterback.
No.
Because your playmakers are
everywhere.
Plenty. Yeah, correct.
I still think it's a nice wrinkle, and I like it especially in the red zone because I just think it gives you so many options near the goal line.
I agree.
And I bet we will probably see more of that. Let's go to Reg in Youngstown now. Reg, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks a whole lot. Hey,
thank
I just wanted to say right quick, fellas, you know, I'm really proud of our Browns and stuff. I know, you know, they haven't won one yet, but I'm not really worried about that because I think they're still going to be all right. You know, I told you guys I felt that way, and I still do. I mean, we got a lot of football to go and stuff. And each week, you know, Matt, I know you can see it a lot by being a player. You can tell they're progressing every week, man. And pretty soon, I think it's going to be real sooner than later, they're going to start getting these wins in here, even against the more better teams just in general and stuff, because you can just see them progressing. And far as Cody, I'm telling you, I think he's going to, like I said before, I think he's going to be a good quarterback for us, guys. And I love, you know, our other two quarterbacks. And I'm telling you, man, I'm kind of thinking, man, maybe if they get ready, maybe they still should maybe let Cody stay in there. And you know me, I'm more of a veteran person, but I just think he's going to be a good quarterback, man. I just have that feeling just watching him. Like you said, the game is not too big for him. You can just tell how he plays. And I think that we got a diamond in the rough, guys. So I'm hoping that this line plays good for us this year, you know, the rest of the year, step it up a little bit. Hope Coach Jack kind of get with them a little bit more to kind of get more out of what we can get out of our line and let this young quarterback go for it. I think we got a diamond here.
Thank you, Reg. We appreciate the call. Yep. And I want to refer along the same lines as Reg's take. Herm Edwards actually joined the Really Big Show this afternoon with Riz and Jerod, and he had an interesting take in talking about, you know, we touched a little bit about Carson Wentz and the success that he's had through three games and not picking him second overall. But then he started talking about the job that Hugh has done and how motivated and how he has these guys fighting. And the one thing that really resonated with me and is oh so true because that's kind of like, you know, I lived it as a part of my NFL career. He said the difference between 6-10 and 10-6 is about 25 plays. That's 4 to 6 plays a game that if made in your favor, you win that football game. And if you don't make them, you lose that football game. And I think that just goes to show, you know, as I continue to say, we made one play in the fourth quarter. The Lemonnier sack, you know, forced fumble recovery. We needed that next play. That next play was the kick. The next play was a throw, a pass break. Whatever it was, it's you got to have the playmakers to be able to make those plays. Now, Lemonnier, you can't say he's essentially a star yet, but he's contributing to what we do and put us in a situation to be able to win a football game.
To win.
And it's in the Baltimore Ravens game. It's like one guy's got to make a stop. You know, and Jamar Taylor can't give up that touchdown. Joe Hayden can't let that slant cross his face, you know, to make that next play to allow us the opportunity to still have the margin to play our game and win a football game. And I just thought it was very interesting about, you know, how close you say it's a game of inches. It's a game of who makes those plays when it matters in a football game and who does not.
And that's what was so encouraging to me about the Miami game is that too often we have not made that play and they did right there.
Right.
And again, you know, you could say to me for, you know, in the Baltimore game, the referees took away that opportunity. Pryor made a great catch on the sideline. It should have been basically first and goal at the 10 with three shots at the end zone. So, but in this one, no question, the defense came up and made that play. By the way, reports coming out of Browns practice today that Joe Hayden went through individual drills during the period open to the media and has looked good. So hopefully he can get back out there after missing that game. Certainly would be great news. 216-578-0850. George in Cleveland. George, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Hey, my question is, or my concern is that as soon as McCown gets healthy, he's going to be the starting quarterback. Well, I think we ought to leave the rookie in. I think that's going to be our backup.
Yeah, that's a good take. Yeah. I think if he plays well, I think you keep him in there.
I agree.
That's what you do.
And I think that Hugh Jackson, knowing that this was his guy, and if he's playing well and giving you opportunities to win the football game, and he's not losing you football game, and he's progressing each and every week, you do continue to play Cody Kessler. And then you find Josh McCown back in his role as a high-quality backup in the National Football League.
And which is what it's a great place for him. He's good at that mentor role. But look, if Cody's not playing well, you absolutely get Josh McCown in there. But if Cody continues to play well enough for you to win games, you play Cody Kessler, I think, and drive that forward here with the Browns. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Got some interesting stuff on Tim Tebow and J.J. Watt as well here on CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, 216-578-0850. Matt, let's talk about Cody Kessler. A lot of people want talking about him on Twitter right now. What's the next step for Cody? What do you want to see in this game to improve upon what he did last game?
I'd say a continuation of what he did. And I think that the confidence in his arm and Hugh Jackson in Cody Kessler as a part of the game plan to maybe force the – I don't want to say – and force is the wrong word, but to push the football down the field a little bit more. And I know some of that is limited because of the playmakers, but and also the fact that we're going to have Josh Norman, you know, roaming around out there taking away one of our playmakers. So
I mean, do you expect them to just throw Norman and have him follow Terrell Pryor wherever he goes and dare Ricardo
That has not been their standard. You know,
he did it with Beckham last week.
Okay, you're right. And they very well might. But then again, what are they going to do when Terrell Pryor lines up at quarterback? So there's a lot of different wrinkles that Washington's putting in right now to be able to handle what we did against Miami in preparation for something of very similarity.
And I mean, to me, if they do that, that is a real test against Terrell Pryor. And to me, that is going to make it difficult. If Norman shadows him, you're going to really need Hawkins, Barnage to step up. You're going to need Ricardo Lewis to step up.
Well, I think you're going to need the offensive line to open up those holes and run the football.
Just run the football.
Correct.
For me, with Cody Kessler, my notes from watching the game back on the tape, I thought he stood in the pocket very well. I thought he took hits. He delivered the ball very well against pressure. Pro Football Focus's stats yesterday backed that up from our guy John Costco. I thought that sometimes it seemed that he predetermined where to go with the ball. Now, you talked about that, the coaches simplifying the field for him. I think if he can, you know, start to scan the field a little better. There was a third down play where he was looking at Pryor the whole way, and they even tipped it off pre-snap, but all he had to do was come to Hawk out of the slot. The guy backed off, looked like they were playing a quarters and would have had a five-yard gain for the first down. So I want to see that. I thought he also looked right more often. Now, that could have just been part of the game plan, a natural thing for a right-handed quarterback to look to the right side of the field. So I want to see him utilize the entire field a little bit more. But I thought he was gutsy. I thought his ball placement was very good. Some of the throws were exactly where they needed to be. I do want to see him take some shots down the field a little bit in this game. But for the most part, I was very, very happy with what we saw out of Cody Kessler early in his career in a game that was a tough spot. And this is going to be a tough one as well, because this will really show something. We talked about Terrell Pryor. 14 targets for Terrell Pryor. The next closest receivers had 7 and 6. That's not even 14 combined. So if they do put Norman on him, first of all, by the way, I believe that Terrell Pryor can have success on Josh Norman. I think physically he can make tough contested catches. He's a big guy. I think he can still have success against him. However, I think that would make the Browns either want to move him around, get him to the slot, give him more free releases, or it's just going to cause the other guys to have to step up. Because one of the beauties about when you have a guy like Josh Norman, and the Browns have that luxury at times with Joe Hayden when he's playing at that level, is that allows you to not only cover the number one guy single coverage and neutralize him, you can then bracket Barnage if you want. You can throw another guy in the box if you want, because I'm sure on the other side of the field right now you feel pretty good one-on-one against Lewis and Hawk until they burn you.
Yeah, so the Hugh Jackson game plan, and again, I have not been in any meetings. This is just, you know, my best guess in preparation, is I would expect a lot of shifts and motions by the Cleveland Browns. Because that's the easiest way pre-snap for Cody Kessler, Hugh Jackson, and his weapons, Terrell Pryor, Andrew Hawkins, Gary Barnes, to get a snapshot and assume what they're playing defensively. And that's, you know, little short motions, little in motions. If Josh Norman follows, you know, obviously they're in some type of man-to-man. Is it two-man? Is it man-free? Is it zero coverage? You know, if he doesn't and they bump those guys on some type of short motion, you know you're getting some type of zone. And then you go into, what do they play? What type of zone defense do they play on these downs and distances based on our film study? So it goes back to that whole process of elimination that I continue to talk about in regards to why you watch so much film to understand what they do, where on the field, certain down and distances, and with a certain personnel on defense.
And those are the little things, and I think that's what gets Hugh Jackson excited, finding those little things, finding those little...
That's what gets me excited.
And you love that. Was that, you know, and I know that you're doing it now coaching for the Westlake Demons. By the way, what week is it this week? Is it an exciting week? Is it?
Oh, it is. It's a big week. Midi week.
Midi week.
If you guys don't win, I think I have to retire that. Or do you hold it responsible in any way?
I don't.
Okay, good.
We shot ourselves in the foot.
Okay.
So not at all. But yeah, it's exciting when, and that's why sometimes even, you know, doing what I do and watching the game of football is sometimes very enjoyable to me. But it's also very frustrating for me, because when I see something, I think it's so easy to be fixed. But yet, you know, in some cases, coaches don't see that until after the fact or halftime. And I just want to kind of jump out there and do it. And sometimes it doesn't fit your scheme to make those types of changes. So that's why I get so excited when I find a tell, or I find a different look of how I'm going to attack that tell each and every week. And that's the one thing, again, go back for me in high school, it's like I've got kids that can grasp, you know, those changes, because sometimes kids can't grasp a change every week and have to relearn something new. And I think for Cody Kessler, you know, Hugh Jackson has a great understanding of, okay, I threw 50% of the playbook at him, you know, last week, and he did pretty damn good. You know, now I can give him 60-65%, some more nuances, you know, maybe some double count, more shifts and motions, you know, and still know that he's going to get the playoff before that play clock expires, and he's going to execute at the level that Hugh Jackson approves of.
Do you think that it is some kind of an advantage that there's really only one game of tape on Cody Kessler? That there will be parts of the playbook that he will get to utilize that
yeah,
they haven't
sure.
seen with him
yet? Of course,
yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even furthermore, you know, a week from now when Josh Gordon comes back and Cody Kessler's your quarterback, there's another, you know, portion of the playbook that you're going to insert simply by having another playmaker, you know, out on the football field that Cody Kessler's going to have to, you know, brush up on and that they probably, you know, installed during training camp. But now that he's the starter, he's thrust into action, you get another playmaker back. Now you can't just, you know, Gordon's on one side, Pryor's on the other. Pryor's been your guy, but you've got Josh Gordon on the other side. You just can't throw right. You know, you've got to go through your reads, and you've got to get to, you know, your first look, your second look, and your third look.
Speaking of Gordon, and we'll get into this obviously more next week, but just off the top of your head, speaking of Gordon, if he's able to be in the building, he's not able to practice, but he can work out on his own and do things here and be in all the meetings. Is he going to be in a better, you know, people who come out of suspensions that maybe haven't been in the building for 4 weeks, like Tom Brady's off in Italy right now.
Right.
Which actually surprised me.
Yeah.
A little bit. But, I mean, he's not allowed to be there or talk to anybody. So, I mean,
right.
He can study from a beautiful place like Italy, I guess, if he wants to.
Sure.
Do you think he's ready to step right back in into a big role? Because mentally he's going to be there. He's going to be in all the meetings. Like, as long as he's physically in shape, which he should be, like that he can come in and play the majority of the snaps right in his first one.
I wouldn't say he may, and I think that he probably could. But I would personally, if I were the head football coach, I would base everything upon his week of practice. You know, okay. His understanding, how crisp are his routes? How quickly is he, you know, recalling portions of the playbook and getting lined up properly and developing a rapport with Cody Kessler and so on and so forth. And I would base the amount that he plays in the football game on what I see. If Mike Tomlin's comments about Le'Veon Bell, he's in great shape. He's going to get a heavy dose of that offense because of how active and how ready he's going to be to take the load from D'Angelo Williams. So, again, in the fantasy world, you're going to want to start a guy like Le'Veon Bell because it's not going to be 50-50. Where in Josh Gordon.
And now we both have him after a big trade in the JFFL that has grown men screaming at each other via email like children.
You're welcome for teeing you up on that
Thank
one.
Thank you for that.
But I would say the same can be said from Josh Gordon, but you're right. And I think, you know, Al Saunders, in preparation for the return of Josh Gordon, might even in these meetings that sometimes are very long and monotonous say, in this situation next week, Josh, here's where we're going to put you, you know, and you would be occupying the safety to allow Terrell to run the big dig in behind or little situations like that. You just don't simply ignore him in the room because realistic, you're going to have him from 12 of 16 football games. You just don't, it's real. It's now right around the corner.
Now it's 12 of 13.
Right. Exactly. So now it's,
yeah, 12 of 13.
Right. So now it's realistic. You know, to have him in there, you want to make him a part of it so that he feels bought in so that when he does come back, he's going to give you the maximum effort and really want to get back to the form that we all know he can play at.
Yes, indeed. We can't wait to see Josh Gordon back. That game being billed around the nation is the return of Josh Gordon in week 5 against Patriots. Oh, and then that Tom fellow is coming back as well. Big news out of Houston today. J.J. Watt, injured reserve. His season is done after re-injuring his back. When you have the best defensive player in the league in a 3-4, he's doing so much for you up front. Now, Jadeveon Clowney's having a nice season, but how much does that impact their defense?
Oh, it's huge. And I think this – I mean, imagine how much we talked about the impact that Dez Bryant was going to play for us, and then you multiply the sacks times 3 and then some to be such a disruptor and line up all over the place. You know, line him up at end, you line him up at nose, you line him up at 3-5 technique. He is stressing – a defense every single play he's on the football field, the same way that we have to identify where Josh Norman's at. J.J. Watt is that guy. So it definitely affects them as a defense. And that's why in some cases just, you know, watching, I heard Stu Gatz this morning talking about J.J. Watt, you know, coming back too early and making a selfish move for coming back so early. That is why, and I know sometimes we can be critical even in this building about Joe Hayden, who is in fact, you know, going through individual and has looked good. You know, the groins, the hamstrings, and the back injuries are all very finicky injuries that if you don't get them to where they're close to 100%, if not 100%, you can go from, you know, not, you say you get it to 90 and you feel like I can go play, you can go from 90 to 70 so fast.
Yeah.
You know, by stressing that ligament or stressing, you know, your back all over again. And in this case, who knows if J.J. Watt's ever going to get back to
what he was.
What he was.
You know, and a lot of people were saying, oh, he was too busy doing this, that, and whatever. But J.J. Watt, now he is done for the season. They said that it was made in the best interest of his long-term health. He is on IR. His season is over with the Houston Texans. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 here on CBD. We'll be back in hour number two. Still to come in this hour, we'll hear from Joe Hayden kicking off our second hour. Also, Brian Body Calhoun will be with us, the young defensive back who had the pick six in his debut with the Browns. One of our listeners, Adam Schwartz, said he should be called Jesse the Body Calhoun. I like that. I like that. I don't know if he'll like that, but I like that. All right, we'll back to more CBD right after this.